Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Mr. Wonderful here at your service, as always. I'm excited about having Greg Sullivan back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Greg is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. I first met him, what has it been now, at least five years ago, 2001, I think it was. Maybe it was 1999. Maybe it's been longer than that. It has been longer than that. It's been like 7 years, I guess, that we've known Greg Sullivan. He was the 1999 Small Business Person of the Year, chosen by the SBA National Award, the number one business in the nation, small business in the nation. And he built that company from nothing, from scratch, from whole cloth, built it up, a technology company, to the point where he sold it to another organization. And now he's moved on. Now he started another organization. He's what they call a serial entrepreneur. And he's here to talk to us about some of the things he's gone through over the last few years that you and I either maybe are experiencing or would like to experience. Greg Sullivan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be back.
It's good to have you back. And as always, was it 1999 that you were the Small Business Person of the Year?
Well, I was just going to say, Jim, you're so old, we go back to the last century.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you and I go back to the last century. That's exactly right. And don't forget, if there's a we in there, I'm not the only one who's so old there, Greg.
That's right.
So you built your company up and you sold it. What was that experience like? Contemplating letting somebody else have your baby?
Well, Jim, you know, I that business that you're referring to, I started in 1982.
In your apartment?
I had it for 22 years when I sold it. And when I sold it, I wasn't trying to sell it. It just so happened that someone got interested in it and came along. And as those conversations unfold over a period of a few months, it became clear that it made sense to be serious about the discussion. And, of course, it turned out everything worked out great. Selling it is not the hard part, because when you do that, you've had a business that long, what you think about the most is the people that have been there. And one of the big reasons for selling it was the opportunity that the bigger company could create for the individuals that I couldn't have as a smaller company.
Right.
But of course, the transition, especially for, you know, the owner of the company, is sometimes a little bit different. It's a different kind of experience.
Now you got an empty nest, haven't you?
Well,
when you sell your business, you know, in your case, you went back to work. You actually continued to work for that company. Not necessarily, you know, to whatever degree your experience was maybe unique from other people's, from someone else's experience, what was it like owning your own company, running your own company, then selling it, and then going back to work for the same company under someone else?
Well, it was, of course, a very different company that, you know, once we combined, and a lot of new influences and a lot of different ideas. I stayed for 1 year. Mm-hmm. After the acquisition, and it was a good year. I learned a lot, met a lot of new people, and in fact made a lot of good friends. And but you know, it's really a transition year, because when you expect to go from having your own business for 20 years to not being involved at all, which is generally the plan in that case, it's that year of transition can be very, very meaningful.
Mm-hmm. Well, so now you've moved on, and you you looked around, you took a couple of years or so and kind of looked around to see what was out there, and you found something else. As you were in that process of looking around, what was on your mind? What were you thinking about? What kind of opportunities were you looking for?
Well, the things that interested me most were the startup situations. And, you know, I've been always in the technology business, and the company that acquired us was in the technology business. And so, and I did take about a year and a half off, by the way, which I recommend. We had a young daughter, and it was, I think, good for me to spend a lot of time with her. In fact, I'll tell you a quick little story, Jim, about, you know, the transitions back into...
Greg, hold on to that story. I want you to tell us that when we come back after these messages. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from Houston, Texas. We'll be right back with Greg Sullivan. More to come after these messages. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes every week on Sunday by email, and also my blog, which you can check out and from the homepage, or go to jimsblog.biz, and that's what the blog we use to send to folks the things that we do every day. We'll be glad to send those to you if you want to subscribe using real simple syndication technology, which you can also get at our website for free. And also, when you come to the site, the blog, the cool thing about the blog is it has everything that we've done today right up front. It's right there up front. It's still similar to the schedule page, but with more stuff. So I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance and use all of the resources there. And go back and listen to some of the interviews that Greg Sullivan and I have conducted over the last several years when he's joined us in the past. And so very interesting. Greg, you were going to tell us a story as we went to the break.
Well, I'm going to tell you a quick story, Jim. After selling the business and staying on a year, I exited in right before summer. And we have a young daughter. She was just entered the first grade. And so her whole year of first grade, I drove her to school and picked her up almost every day. And, of course, I was one of the only dads, you know, in the carpool line most days. The last week of school, I picked her up one day. And she hopped in the back seat, all excited and everything. And she said, "Dad, I've got a question for you." I said, "Sure, what would you like to know? Something about history or math or whatever?" And he says, "No, Dad, it's not about school, it's about you." She said, "And I want you to tell me the truth." And I said, "Of course I will." She said, "Dad, have you got a job?" She says, "I think you're the only dad that picks up in the carpool line." And she says, "I think it's because you don't have a job." So
first graders... These first graders can come up with the questions, can't they?
I said, "Well, Riley, I don't have a job, but that's not something that you need to worry about." And so we drove down the road a little bit. She got real quiet. I looked in the mirror at the stoplight, and I looked back, and there's a little tear coming out of her eye.
Oh, no.
And I said, "Riley, is everything okay?" She said, "Dad, I've been thinking about this, and I think we can make this work." And she gave me a plan for how we were going to save money and
oh no,
what sacrifices she was going to make, and she
oh,
just had
no.
it all worked out. It was amazing.
What a serious little girl.
Yeah. So I was at that moment that I thought this is not necessarily the impression I'd like to leave with my young daughter. So I decided to get back involved, and it really, Jim. From there, even it took me, because I only started the process you know, shortly thereafter, and it took me.
So a six-year-old basically kicked you in the pants and got you back into the marketplace.
That's right. That's right.
Wow. You know, well, you know, the lesson there is whenever you're going through any kind of a situation where you're growing a business or you're starting a business or you're selling a business and you're exiting one that you sold, there are a number of different stakeholders, aren't there?
There are a lot of stakeholders, and these transitions don't always appear that way to them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I decided.
You know, I remember when I started my small business, my own small business now, you know, back in the late 80s, and I had two teenagers, and I had to talk to them. I had to get, you know, I had to explain to them why, you know, for a while they weren't going to get a better car to drive, you know, or whatever, you know, that we weren't going to be able to take the vacations maybe that we had when I was an executive for another company, that we were going to make, you know, there were some things that we were going to have to do to make some adjustments. And you know what? They took it in stride. It was amazing how well they took it.
Well, there are sacrifices in every transition, even the positive ones. And
yeah. I think those were beneficial lessons for my kids. And I'm sure, you know, that your little daughter is the same way. I mean, those are life experiences that you don't need to not share with them, do you?
Well, and, you know, the thing I had to think about was, at her very impressionable age, the only thing she knew her father did was do volunteer activities. I was involved civically and charitably, and those are the things that I did that year and a half that I was very involved in, and I got her involved in them too. So I'd have to think that those impressions will remain with her.
But she was smart enough to know they didn't bring in a paycheck, wasn't she?
She was, yes. She did figure that part out.
That's a great story. So now you've gotten back into another high-tech company.
I have.
And how's that going?
Well, we're within our first few months. We're trying to commercialize what I believe is a compelling set of intellectual property from a professor here at Washington University in St. Louis, where I live. It's all telecommunications related, and a long history of successful computer networking and telecom inventions have come out of this laboratory, and we're trying to commercialize one of those. So I'm starting, Jim, just like I did in 1982. I started with just myself. And a few months ago, and now I've got it up to, there's about seven of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we our first patent's about to issue. So we have some fun days.
Hold on to that thought. We'll come back, folks. We're going to talk a little bit about global velocity and what it does. And I think you'll find this very interesting. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with our good friend, Greg Sullivan.
We skip the line. Only you can to make all this world seem right.
Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our serial entrepreneur friend, Greg Sullivan, the new leader of Global Velocity. And Greg's been telling us about his experiences as he's gone from founding a company to growing it to selling it to transitioning out of that ownership and now into another one. Greg, Global Velocity, is there a website we can go to?
Globalvelocity.com.
All right. Just like it sounds, folks. Greg, was it hard to get back into the rat race, get back into the gear of running, or were the creative juices easy to come back to you?
That's a great question. I don't look back at the transition into my new situation as being difficult at all. I do recall my transition out of my other situation as being difficult, but transitioning back didn't seem it seemed very natural and comfortable, and it just it's amazing how much pleasure we get from our work, even you know, when we're dealing with the stresses of it at the same time. But I, doing a startup can be very stressful. But I tell you, Jim, I've enjoyed every minute of it.
I bet this startup has been a little bit less painful and drawn out than the first one.
You know, it's just a different set of challenges. I mean, my first company was bootstrapped.
Yep.
You know, from my little apartment, and I just, you know, built it by hiring one person at a time. It was a services business. This is a product oriented company. It's still in technology, but it's a whole different kind of business. And you know, I have to find funding sources that are different than the ones I did before, and it's different. But in that challenge, but I'll tell you one thing that's the same, and it's the same in every business, and you know this, and everybody knows this. It's just, it all comes down to the people you're able to attract.
Mm-hmm.
And I was blessed with wonderful people the first time, and it looks like that's certainly going to be the case again.
Well, I'm glad you got Deb Wheaton here back. I was worried about you till I heard that Deb was back and working with you. Now I'm not worried about you anymore.
Well, the people who know me best, like you, Jim, understand that she's the reason that we were successful the first time. So,
well, you be sure to tell her I said that, and that we told the world how important Deb Wheaton is. Okay, in the couple of minutes we got left, this technology you guys are creating is something that the average person doesn't contemplate much, but it's going to be part of their lives in the future, isn't it?
Yes, certainly the concept will, and I hope our technology is among those that are popularly adopted. But computer networks and the internet itself, Jim, they're based on inventions from essentially the '60s, and maybe even a little bit before that, and so. It's all based on a very simple concept, point A to point B, and there's not a whole lot of intelligence interjected into that process. And we're trying to build devices that can watch the data as it flows by and then make more intelligent decisions about how to react to it. And we're trying to do this in computer hardware, so we do it at very high speeds. We can filter, scan, process, report, reroute, or do whatever you'd like to do with very high, up to 10 billion bits per second.
So it's not just security, it's also the quality of the transmission.
It's the quality of the transmission, and it's the quality of the relationship that the transmission provider has with its customers.
Will your technology improve voice over IP?
Well, that's a good example of what we call class of service distinction, where we can maybe give a little bit higher priority to a voice call on that wire than you would, say, an outgoing email at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, where a few milliseconds difference in the delivery of that email isn't going to matter, but a few milliseconds performance improvement on your voice packet will improve the quality of that call.
And see, that's an area that everybody listening is going to be impacted by, if not today, eventually. Because of a voice over because of the diffusion of voice over IP. In fact, what you may not know, Greg, is I'm actually doing my show over voice over IP back to my network when I'm on the road.
Well, Jim, I'm impressed to hear that, but I'm even more impressed to hear you use a term like that.
I know it. You didn't think I knew words like that, did you?
Hey,
Greg.
Right.
Thank you for being here. Good job, and congratulations on everything that's going on, and congratulations on having such a smart little girl.
Thanks, Jim, and congratulations on your long run of success.
I appreciate it, Greg. I'll see you later. Got to go for this hour, ladies and gentlemen. I'll see you right after the news. Don't go away. I'll be back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.